Hi, it's Amy Siskin of The Weekly List and author of the book The List, and welcome to episode 153 of The Weekly List podcast. This is the 19th segment in a section called Democracy at Risk. Welcome. I wanted to record a podcast on the state of play as we close out 2023. And I want to start off with an admission. I was wrong. I was completely wrong. I thought we were done with Trump. I was sure that I had filed away the weekly list and all the archived materials at University of Pennsylvania, Library of Congress for posterity, and that it would be in the rearview mirror and we might face other challenges, hence continuing on with this podcast, Democracy at Risk. But I certainly would never have envisioned that Trump would have a second chance to become our president again. Again, I was wrong. As we head into 2024 next week, the state of the Republican primary is Trump is far and away leading and is the likely candidate to be taking on President Biden in next year's general election. Now, things could change. There's always the outside chance. We start voting in primaries, if you're a Republican, in January, first in Iowa, then New Hampshire. And Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, has recently been showing some momentum and rising in the polls. So there is a slight chance of an upset. She could possibly win New Hampshire, go on to do well in her state of South Carolina. But again, at where we stand today, that is an outlier chance. It's also possible that any of these cases that we're going to discuss today, that we have discussed in prior podcasts, could derail things for Trump. But unfortunately, what has actually happened is Trump's popularity has grown and donations have flown to him as he faces consequences for his time in office and its aftermath. It's remarkable. It's only strengthened his poll numbers, starting with the first indictment, which we talked about in our podcast series with Alvin Bragg in New York. It's only gotten worse. So we're going to update those cases. But first, I want to talk about what everyone is concerned about, what a second term of Trump would look like. Because one of the things that has always been fear of mine and many other experts in authoritarianism is that people don't always end up in their positions of power the first time where they do the most damage. You can look at Adolf Hitler, for an example. Getting his first bite, losing, and then coming back, and we know the rest. Trump in a second term would be without guardrails. He would not need to bring on the old Republicans to show him what to do, the sane Republicans. He and his acolytes will have learned from their mistakes and what it is to be on the inside. All the broken norms we've cataloged in the weekly list would then be the norms. I want to talk about just in the last couple of weeks, last few weeks, some of the things that Trump has said. He's dehumanized his adversaries as, quote, vermin, who must be, quote, rooted out. He's declared that immigrants are, quote, poisoning the blood of our country, which is verbiage from Hitler's Mein Kampf, although he denies that he's ever read that or it's coming from there. Trump's also encouraged the shooting of shoplifters and suggested that former chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, Mark Milley, deserved to be executed for treason. He was asked if he would be a dictator, and he said, well, only for the first day, but didn't even deny it. He has said he would seek to expand presidential power and has vowed to use the Justice Department to openly said he would wreak vengeance against his enemies. So those are the things that he is saying out loud this time. The first time that he ran and said outrageous things out loud, everyone laughed it off. Now he's saying it out loud. People are shocked and his popularity just continues to grow. So let's talk about some of the pushback that he is facing and a new not normal. And that is, in recent weeks, first Colorado and then Maine became two states that had historic firsts where they said Trump would not be on their ballots in the Republican primary. The Colorado case, which came first, and its decision is one of dozens around the country that are challenging his eligibility to run by arguing that he is disqualified because of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. That reads, quote, "No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state." This came about after the Civil War. Colorado, in the ruling 2 weeks ago, came out and said that Trump would not be on their ballot. The Colorado Supreme Court, in a 4-3 opinion, they said, quote, "President Trump did not merely incite the insurrection. Even when the siege of the Capitol was fully underway, he continued to support it. These actions constitute overt, voluntary, and direct participation in the insurrection." That ruling will be appealed. In the meantime, the state's Republican group petitioned and argued 3 points. That first, the office of the presidency is not covered by the 14th Amendment. It doesn't explicitly say that. The insurrection clause is not self-executing, meaning Congress alone must enforce it, and states cannot make the determination on their own. And finally, that by kicking Trump off the ballot, the state parties, Republican parties, First Amendment rights have been violated. Also in the last week, the Secretary of State of the state of Maine, Shannon Bellows, a Democrat, ruled that Trump could not be on their primary ballot, making Maine the second state in 2 weeks to disqualify Trump's candidacy due to the constitutional bar on office holders who support or, quote, engaged in insurrection or rebellion. Oregon is also set to make their decision shortly, and there have been other states that have voted that Trump can remain on their ballot, including this week, Michigan. Trump plans to appeal to the Supreme Court when we return from New Year's on January 2nd, according to media reports. So the Supreme Court is going to be busy, and not since Bush v. Gore has the Supreme Court weighed in on things that would impact an election, but they now have 3 cases potentially before them that will impact Trump's ability to get back in office. The first is, again, these now Colorado and potentially Maine and potentially other states. Is Trump eligible to be president under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment? Obviously, the court hasn't said whether they will take this up because it hasn't been appealed yet to them by Trump's lawyers, but that is coming shortly. The second case would be the January 6th case. Is a former president absolutely immune from prosecution for crimes committed while in office? And that's something that Trump has been trying to use to get out of the January 6th case brought by special prosecutor Jack Smith. And third, can prosecutors charge defendants in cases arising from the January 6th attack under a federal law that makes it a crime to corruptly obstruct an official proceeding? Another Supreme Court case that is on the docket for 2024, Fisher versus the United States, contends that the Justice Department is overstretching a provision of the 2002 Sarbanes-Oxley Act that was designed to outlaw the destruction of corporate documents. This case could upend hundreds of cases that the Justice Department has brought because of obstruction charges against rioters in January 6. It could also impact Trump's case. As our Supreme Court is prepared to potentially take these three cases that could have major implications on the 2024 election, it comes at a time when their approval rating continues to be at a record low, near 40%. It comes at a time when they are battered by scandals. And it comes at a time when three of the nine justices that will determine these cases were appointed by Donald Trump, the man that will be directly impacted by their rulings. So, what could stop Trump other than Nikki Haley in the primary? Well, let's just get an update of some of the cases that we've discussed in this podcast. Coming into 2024, Trump faces up to five separate trials in 2024, as well as verdicts in two civil cases that could have major impact on him financially, as well as his brand that he has run on as president. In the four criminal cases, he faces 91 felony counts, including some that carry a maximum prison term of 20 years. Let's just bullet through some of these cases. The E. Jean Carroll defamation trial. Trump was found guilty in the first case. The second trial is scheduled to begin January 16th. Why does that matter? Well, in addition to all these trials we're about to discuss, remember the Republican primary starts this month as well. In January, the first caucus in Iowa, as well as voting in New Hampshire in the primary, will start. But Trump will find himself on January 16th in court for the E. Jean Carroll defamation trial. And he is in this second trial being focused on comments he made both while he was president, but also after the verdict in the first case, when he continued to trash her publicly, calling her a, quote, whack job. The second major case that will also be happening in January is a New York civil fraud case. Both sides are scheduled to submit filings on January 5th, and then they'll be presenting closing arguments on January 11th. The judge has said he expects to issue a written decision in weeks that follow. Why does this matter so much? The stakes for Trump are enormous. Attorney General Letitia James is seeking a penalty not only of up to $250 million, but also she seeks the dissolution of his New York business licenses, meaning Trump would no longer be able to do business starting now and here on in the state of New York. So those are the two civil cases. Now let's talk about the criminal cases. Now the case that everyone, all the media pundits had kind of been saying was the most likely to proceed ahead of the election and could upset him, the in terms of his ability to run and take office, is a Jack Smith election interference case, the January 6th case in D.C. That case is still officially scheduled for March 4th. But one of the cases that we discussed that was going before the Supreme Court, the absolute immunity, could stall that case. The judge in this case has ruled that Trump is not immune. And after she gave her a ruling, Jack Smith tried to expedite it to the Supreme Court in order to try to push through still to keep this March 4th trial date. Supreme Court has not made a statement yet on where they stand, other than they will not hear this case until first it goes through the appeals court. And so that will happen on January 9th. If Jack Smith, or either way, this is making its way to the Supreme Court. Depending on timing, this case may or may not take place on March 4th. But what's at stake here? This was a purposely very narrowly written case. It's a very strong case, but Jack Smith has a four-count criminal case alleging Trump conspired to defraud the United States by illegally subverting the results of the 2020 presidential election and the peaceful transition of power. So that's a huge case. Timing on that case will impact another criminal case, the Stormy Daniels case, that Trump was charged with 34 felony counts. That was the first indictment that we discussed in this podcast back in March. He's charged with falsifying business records related to his hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. That could go to trial shortly as well. Both sides are meeting with the judge on February 15th. Alvin Bragg had agreed to push that off, thinking that the Jack Smith case would start in March. But if that isn't the case, that this case could start in February or March. Also, the classified documents case, another Jack Smith case. Trump faces 37 counts of federal indictments in Florida, alleging he illegally held onto and mishandled classified national security information at Mar-a-Lago. However, the judge there is very friendly to Trump. She's a Trump nominee, and she's scheduled the trial for May 20th, but left open the possibility of pushing it back. So that is unlikely to happen before the election. And finally, the Georgia election interference case. Prosecutors initially sought a March trial date, but pushed back the request to August after two co-defendants sought a speedy trial. Both of those co-defendants, Trump attorneys Sidney Powell and Kenneth Cheeseborough, have flipped and pleaded guilty, and they are cooperating in this case. Jenna Ellis is also cooperating in this case, as are several others. So Fannie Willis has slowly rolled up several defendants and turned them against Trump. However, this is unlikely to go to trial, or maybe the trial will start, but unlikely to get far before the election. Just one comment on these cases. The cases involving Jack Smith, if Trump were to win the election, could disappear. He could pardon himself. According to media reports, Trump is now so desperate to win this election in November, in part to get rid of these cases against him. Again, these are criminal cases that could send him to prison. He can do that in the cases that are in federal court. He cannot do that in Georgia. The only person that could pardon him would be the Georgia Board of Pardon, and that is a group of five. They are elected by the Georgia governor, who at this point is a Republican, Kemp, no friend of Trump's. But again, unlikely given the timetable that we're going to get far with that case ahead of the election, but it could be coming to a head if Trump were to win after, and he would have no way to block that. The New York cases as well that are in federal court, that would be only Governor Hochul that could pardon Trump. And obviously that's not happening in New York. But the Jack Smith cases could go away if Trump were to win. Now, one of the things we talked about in the beginning of this podcast is Trump's desire and his open statements that he is going to be seeking revenge in no uncertain terms against his enemies, his growing enemy list. And he is the Republicans doing his tutelage and his business as well. In a sign of revenge, the House Republicans recently, in a party line vote, voted to move forward with an impeachment inquiry against Biden that will be playing out in 2024 during the election year related to Hunter Biden and some of his cases. They allege that somehow Biden acted corruptly or accepted bribes in his current role or previous office as vice president, although the Republicans say they have no evidence yet to prove that. No evidence has emerged. But since we spoke last in this podcast, the House Speaker is no longer Kevin McCarthy. In fact, Kevin McCarthy has left politics for now. Hard to make this stuff up. Elect clowns get a circus. We have a new Republican speaker, Mike Johnson, and he and his team had faced growing pressure, because if you watch Fox News, all you hear about is Hunter Biden, to launch this impeachment inquiry. Again, it is masked as what's good for the geese is good for the gander. You did this to our guy. We're going to do it to you Democrats now, too. Even though Trump's impeachments were for real things. But we will see how that all plays out and if it actually backfires on Republicans. The other closing note, Rudy Giuliani, the Trump accolade who has been loyal to him to the end, lost his case in a huge judgment made against him of $146 million, lost his case against two former Georgia election workers who he defamed. He subsequently filed for Chapter 11. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. So you can see how everyone involved in trying to overturn the 2020 election, Rudy Giuliani, is bankrupt, Sidney Powell, Kenneth Cheeseborough, Jenna Ellis are cooperating against Trump. Things are moving, but I wish Merrick Garland had appointed Jack Smith a year or two earlier, because our question is, as we head into these final stretch, can these cases get to trial before Trump gets back into office? So closing out, folks, Happy New Year. I want to say again my apologies for being so wrong and saying that Trump would never come back again. Will I be back to listing in November 2024? Well, I hope not. I hope not, not for me, but for all of our sakes, because there would be no expiry if Trump got back to office. He's already said that openly. The only thing that held him back from doing some of these outrageous things is he needed to be reelected. We can't take that chance. I wanted us all to have a break, to catch our breath, get our mental health and our physical health back. But as we pick up in 2024, it's going to be time to start revving the engines, getting back to work, leaving nothing to chance. So rest up now and be ready to save our democracy again. Signing off, and Happy New Year.